Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. Let me begin reading at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying." Now, if I could, let me just do this morning, since we're calling this a modified service. We're going to be changing things around a little bit anyway, and obviously, as you can tell, since the clock says not even 15 after, I'm definitely not long-winded in the tune of a 45-minute sermon, so I hope you don't mind that. Of course, the good thing about getting out early today is Clyde and Bob and Gary are here. I'm sure they'll have breakfast down in the fellowship hall for us. But now, all right, look at verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah." The word Jonah means dove. It's interesting, isn't it? It means dove. Now, God's desire was that the dove of peace, or let's say peace, would be experienced in the city of Nineveh with the salvation of sinners. Salvation means peace with God, doesn't it? So here we have a prophet whose name means dove being sent to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh, incidentally, was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And Nineveh was a city that it's estimated had a population of over 1 million people at the time that Jonah was called to go to Nineveh. Over 1 million people. Also, interestingly enough, there were so many people in the city of Nineveh that actually, if you do your math, there was something like 120,000 children. I'm talking about infants in the city of Nineveh. How do we know that? If you look at the last chapter, the last verse, it says this, "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also a bunch of cattle." So basically, the thought there is there were close to 120,000 infants who couldn't discern their left hand from the right hand, and simply talking about the fact they were infants. They were children. So the city of Nineveh was a tremendous city at that time. There was a wall that stretched around the city of Nineveh. Six chariots could run abreast around that wall. It had such a width to it. So we're talking about a major place. Now, if you will notice here, though, it says this, where God said, all right, God said in verse 2, "Go to Nineveh, the great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Now, there's a few other things that needs to be pointed out. First of all, Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh because of the people that were there. Jonah had a problem with the people. Now, why? Well, the people were the cruelest, most ungodly. They were comparable to the ISIS of today. That's how the Assyrians were. They hated the Jewish people. They beheaded. They destroyed. They were brutal enemies. And here God is telling Jonah to go to Nineveh, to a place that's filled with those cruel people that hated the Jew. Jonah's a patriot. He's a person that loves his people. So why in the world would he go there? That would be like telling us to go to Iraq or go to Syria and preach the gospel to ISIS. Most of us, myself included, would like to take a 40 caliber or a 45 caliber or my 270 deer rifle and just mow down as many as we could, because we're patriots. We see their beheadings. We hear how they torture. We think of how they burn people alive, those cruel people. But yet in reality, Those are not just brutal savages. Those are people that have a soul, though. And I struggle with that myself. I'll be quite honest with you. I struggle with that. I look at what those people are doing, and it would seem to me that they don't even have a soul. They don't even have a heart. But in reality, they still do, though. I'd have a hard time myself if God called me and said, Chuck, I want you to go and try to start a church among the ISIS people. First of all, you couldn't get near them anyway, because if you find out you're Christian, you're doomed. Yeah, I was thinking of some kind of a cliche people use today. You're mincemeat or whatever. I mean, you wouldn't survive 5 minutes if they found out you were Christian. But still yet, we've got to understand this now. When the Bible says God so loved the world, God still loves those people. Now, I hate to admit it, but it's true. It's the truth. God still loves those people. Jesus still died for those brutal people that took that Jordanian officer and put him inside that cage and burned him alive. God still died, Jesus still died for those people. That is a fact. And here God calls Jonah. God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh. And Jonah as much as said, me? You talking about me? You must have that wrong, God. I think I'll just go down to Spain. By the way, that's where Tarshish was in Spain. He thought, I'm not going to go to Nineveh. I'll just choose and I'll go down to Spain. I'll go to Tarshish. Now let me keep reading. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city. Cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. In other words, God saw the wickedness of that city. And God cared about the souls in that city. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. That's what I want to talk about today. He paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now in chapter 1, we can see a cycle of events that takes place. And every single one of those events are related to this thing of going down. All right. The Bible says in verse 3, he went down. Verse number 4, there was a great wind. Verse number 5, the mariners were afraid. Verse number 5, Jonah was asleep. Verse number 8, they asked him his occupation, which you shouldn't have to be asking a Christian what their occupation is. It should have been pretty clear where Jonah stood. That's like someone coming up to us and saying, are you a Christian? They ought to already know that by the way we act and live. So they ask him his occupation. Then, if you keep on reading, of course, you'll find in the same chapter, you'll find that it says here in verse number 17, a great fish. A great fish. Now, what was the great fish? Was it a whale? Very good possibility. Doesn't say a whale, but it very well could have been. When we think of sea mammals, of course, The fish that we think about and the mammal that we think about is a whale in terms of size. Now, it could have been a great white shark even, but it just says a great fish. And so, really, it makes no difference what type of fish it was. The most important thing is what happened. Now, if it would have been a tadpole and swallowed Jonah, we could have still believed it. That sounds ridiculous, of course, but listen to me. God's a God of miracles and can do anything He wants to, can He? Then it says, verse 17, that he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. That is a literal fact. Now, there are Bible critics who try to say the book of Jonah was not an inspired book. But it's amazing how the only... Well, in fact, Jesus made reference to Jonah, didn't he? As Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the fish, even so the Son of Man will be 3 days, 3 nights in this earth. What happened? Crucifixion, Jesus' death, his burial, and 3 days later he arose. So you see, Jonah was given by the Lord Jesus as a type, as a picture even, of himself when it came to the matter of his death and then his resurrection. Now, but here's what I want us to see today. Now, notice in verse number three, it says he paid the fare. He paid the fare. There's a lot that can be said about that. He paid the fare. I'm going to tell you what, he paid a big fare. He paid tremendously. You know, it is a fact, isn't it? We come into this world paying, and we go out paying. In fact, I was thinking about the other day, a baby comes in this world, the first thing they're doing is crying. They open up their eyes, they look around, they see the state this world is in, and then they really cry. But we come into this world crying, and many times we'll go out crying. But he paid the fare thereof. What a statement. What a statement. Now, we sometimes talk about getting off cheap or getting through something without having to pay a whole lot for it. There's really not a whole lot of freebies anyway. In fact, we talk about freedom of speech. Is speech really free? When was the last time you checked your phone bill? So nothing is free. He paid the fare. He paid the fare. I think of some things in life that we pay for. I know one thing, salvation may be free to us, but it cost God the best he could offer. And I know something else. It's not a freebie to serve God either. It's costly. It costs something to serve the Lord. Discipleship is costly. It's not something that we simply do in kind of a frivolous way. Serving God is not a cheap experience because it's costly. Ridicule, persecution, suffering, troubles, God's people go through them. Bible says Jonah paid the fare. What did he pay? He paid with his testimony for one thing. They said, "What's your occupation?" That wasn't a very good testimony. He's asleeping. He should have been awake. He's sleeping. And what else happened? Well, because of his disobedience, the whole crew suffered. The whole ship was in jeopardy. In fact, the wind began to blow. The storm came. And the entire ship could have been capsized. And so, the mariners began to talk among themselves. There's something wrong here. And then they begin to make a connection. Their attention goes to Jonah. They go back and wake him up. They begin to deal with him. You know, what's your occupation? What's going on? And so finally, the only thing they were thinking, the only thing that's going to take care of this situation is this old backslidden prophet's got to go. So what happens? He even suggested, just throw me overboard. And of course, it didn't take much coaxing on their part. So the next thing you know, he's in the drink. And we could say in no time he was down in the mouth. Literally. So he starts out by going down. And the next thing you know, he's really going down. all the way to the bottom in the belly of that fish. He paid the fare thereof. You know what? Sin is costly. Sin is costly. It cost God the best He had to offer in His Son. It cost the testimony of Christians. Sin is costly. You see it in lives that's broken. You see it in homes that's destroyed. You see it in people committing suicide. You see it today in this nation of ours. You see how sin is costly. Sin is causing our government to be destroyed. Sin is causing chaos today in the streets. Sin is resulting in the wars that's going on right now. Sin is costly. Jonah paid the fare thereof. I want to mention four things, four simple things, and then we'll go to breakfast. Number one, I noticed this, he paid the fare. I think of the thought a discounted valuable. He discounted something that was valuable. What is valuable? The testimony of a Christian? What would be the fair market value of a testimony? Could anyone ever figure that out? The fair market value. He discounted the thing that was most valuable to him. His calling. His testimony, His service. It's a tragedy when Christians discount the valuable things. Salvation costs the best God had to offer. Being saved is something that's precious. Serving God is precious. Our testimonies are precious. We cannot discount, we cannot put the testimony that God's given us in a basement bargain pricing. It's too valuable. He discounted the valuable. I think of a passage of Scripture talks about the prodigal. He goes out in the far country, and there's a word in that passage of Scripture that's so significant. The Bible said he wasted his substance in riotous living. The word wasted. Many Christians are wasting their testimonies. And Jonah, while he's running from God, while he's in the back of the boat, while he's sleeping, while the ship is in peril, he should have been testifying and witnessing and concerned, and he should have been on another boat going in the other direction anyway. So he started out heading the wrong place, didn't he? So we see there, discounted valuable. Number two, here's a thought. Not only discounted valuable, but I see a disabling vanity. Disabling vanity. He was disabled. He was disabled. He had no power. He had no significance. He had no biting testimony. You know, by the way, the book of Jonah records the greatest missionary accomplishment that ever took place in human history. If we could study, if we went all the way through this book and we find out what happened when Jonah did get straightened out by the Lord and he did go into the city of Nineveh preaching and warning and all those people got saved, that's the greatest missionary endeavor that ever took place in human history, what took place in Nineveh. It was tremendous. But a disabling vanity. He was disabled. Disabled. Insignificant until God had to put him through what he had to put him through. He had to go through the ringer before he would ever get straightened out. You know, it's not too comfortable going through the ringer, is it? It hurts when we suffer. It hurts, Christians, when you and I get chastened, when God's not pleased. I don't know how it's been with you, but there have been times in my life that I've known a little bit about this thing of not having the peace of God because of rebellion or because of my life not being totally in order like it should. And don't look at me surprised. We're all human beings and we're in the same human boat. And all of us can mess up from time to time. And it takes its toll. It takes its toll. We lose peace with God. We don't have that real calmness in our soul like we need. Disabling vanity. And then, I want to make a comparison here though. For the child of God though, when we serve the Lord, I don't think of a disabling vanity. I think of a delightful void. And what do I mean by that? For the Christian, there are some things it's wonderful no longer having. There are some things it's wonderful to no longer be plagued with. What do I mean? Well, when God saves us, we lose one thing I'm glad we lose, and that's, you know what it is? War in our soul. Hopelessness. We lose that hopelessness. We lose that fear of death. We lose that when we're saved. We lose the temporary pleasures being our dominant goal in life. We've given them up now. We've invested in a cause that will outlive this life. Delightful void. And then finally, this morning, I look at this chapter, and I can say all we're doing looking at one verse there is I think he paid the fare. I see a discounted valuable. I see a disabling vanity, but I'm reminded of our delightful void. You see, when God saved us, what he took away from us, he more than made up for us by what he gave us. I have no regrets today that I gave up the route that was taking me to hell and gained the route that's taken me to heaven. I have no regrets in that. I'd say this. I'd say we're better off if we only live on this earth for 10, 20 years or 30 years and go to heaven when we die than live to be 100 and wind up going to hell. We've still gained far more. We've gained more than we lost. We really have. But then finally, today, notice this. The decisive victory. Jonah paid the fare thereof. But I think of a person that paid a fare too, don't you? I think about how Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jonah paid the fare, but Jesus paid a greater debt. He paid our sin debt. He took care of it in full. In fact, I think it's with the significance that even if you studied this out and went over and looked, looked, for example, about what the Lord himself said as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. And of course, I'm referenced now Matthew 12, Luke 11. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus made a decisive victory, and he used Jonah to illustrate it. Because he talked about Jonah being in the belly of that whale and then coming up out of there, and then, of course, God delivering him out of the belly of that whale. That's a picture, my friend, of the resurrection of Christ anyway. Jesus died. He was buried, but he was in the ground 3 days. Like Jonah came up out of that whale. Three days later, Jesus came up 3 days. That's victory, isn't it? A decisive victory. I'll read the book of Jonah, and I'm reminded of what sin can do, but also think of the Savior who took care of that sin debt, and I'm reminded of what grace can do. So Jonah paid the fare thereof, but so did Jesus. He took care of our fare. He paid our sin debt. And so, we haven't covered a lot of territory here this morning, but I hope we'll just think about that. He paid the fare. He surely did. But Jesus paid it all. I heard someone that said this, and then I'll be through. I would not change my blessed estate, for all the world calls good or great, And while my faith can keep her hold, I envy not the sinner's gold. He paid the fare thereof. Let's pray.